Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Chulin Daf Lamed Amud Bet, about to take a look at the second Mishnah in the second parak. Hashochet Shnei Rashin Ke'achad. This Mishnah was already referenced in our previous discussion. If you cut two heads at once, one after the other, Shchitato K'shera, that's valid. Now, Shnayim Ochazin V'Sakin V'Shochtim, this was also referenced. If two people are holding on to the knife, and it was unclear in the previous discussion if this was two separate knives, which seemed to be the conclusion we came to, or one long knife. Afilo chad amala v'chad amate, if one is up and one is down, kshitato kshira. Now, that part is not even discussed in the Gemara. The next piece will be picked up. He teases the Rosh V'atachat. If you cut off the head, decapitated the animal at one shot, then psula, which means that the knife went directly at the simanim, frontal instead of a lateral sawing movement. Hayashoch. But if you were sawing and then cut off the head, if the knife is as long as the width of a neck, then kshera. So a small little knife like that would cut that way, that would be invalid. If you were shechting and two heads came off at once, again going back to the earlier case, again, if the knife is as long as one neck's width. That now seems a little bit difficult to equate that with the previous case. We'll see about that. This entire issue of the length of the knife is only if you saw it in one direction, to or fro. But if you went in both directions, even if the knife is tiny, a tiny little knife, kshera. Okay, so the end of the Mishnah presented us with the following. If the knife is long, however long it is, we have to get to that, then even if you only went one slice in one direction and it cut off the head or the heads, it's valid. If the knife is small and it went that far and it immediately cut off the heads with only one stroke, then it's not good. But if you went back and forth, doesn't matter how small it is, it's valid. Okay, Minahani Mili, what's the source for the idea that the knife has to do, that this knife has to do a lateral movement? Amar Shmuel da Amar Kra Chetz Shachut L'Shonam Mirmad Daber. Yirmiyahu speaks about those who talk in a hurtful way, and it's like an arrow that's Shachut. We'll see later on that Shachut seems to mean pulled. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel v'Shachat Ein v'Shachat Ela Mashu Ela Nimshach, that it's pulled or Umashach. V'Chein Omer Zahav Shachut. This is describing Shlomo's wealth and what he shows off to Malkat Shva. Zahav Shachut, the idea is it's drawn gold. V'yomer, chet Shachut, l'shonam mirmad daber. Plus he invokes the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Ma v'yomer, why do you have to invoke the second Pasuk? Chitem Zahav Shachut means shenitvek chutu. Maybe Shachut means shel chut, meaning it's spun gold. Toshma v'chet Shachut, l'shonam, therefore we have the other Pasuk. Now Rava, habibadikle geiro l'abiyona bar tachlifa. Rava was checking an arrow to see how sharp it was as a shechita knife for a Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. V'shachat ba'of v'bahadid parach, and a bird flew over and he took it and he shot it and he shechted the bird while it was in flight. And it was valid. V'dilma avid chalada, aren't we concerned that he did chalada, that it went in and then cut out to the simanim? Chazinan gid feed the meat for me. You have to take a look at the feathers and the wings in front to see if they're cut. Ah, vabaiki sui. It's a bird, so you have to cover up the dam. Chitem nevachasule. If you say he covered up the dam, va'amar avizera marava shochet zirch shiten afar lamata v'afar lamala. You have to put dirt above and dirt below. Has to be encased in dirt. Shenemar v'chisahu be'afar. You cover it inside of dirt, as it were. Afar lamar ela be'afar. Mamecha shochet zirch shiten afar lamata v'afar lamala. So you have to do both. The answer is the mazmin afar dechula pitcha. He took the whole entire field, entire area where he was shooting the bird, and he had already said all of this dirt is designated for kisui adam. Okay, ayashochet vihitiz. We said that if the knife is long enough, the size of a neck's width, then even if you went in one direction, that's sufficient. Amar bezera malot savar v'chutz latzavar. It says it has to be a little bit more than that. Ibayalu malot savar v'chutz latzavar kim malot savar. What does it mean? Another neck's width besides the original neck's width? Double the trait savari, so it's two. Odilma melot savar v'chutz savar mashu. Maybe it just means a next width and something. So toshma, let's see. Look at the next case. Hayah shochet v'itiz shnei roshim v'atachat. If you cut off two heads, im yesh the sakin melot savar chad, if it's one next width good, wide, then long, then kasher. Now, my melot savar chad, how long could this be? Ile melotzavar achad v'tulo. If it's exactly one next width, that makes no sense. Hashtabay ma achad pa'ina melotzavar v'chutzatzavar. According to Rabbi Zeira, we said that even with one animal, you need a next width plus something. With two animals would be enough to have just one next width. Doesn't make sense. What it means is that it has to be a next width besides two other next widths, meaning a next width besides whatever you're cutting. So therefore, Bizeiro, when he said chutz l'tzavar, must have meant besides the regular next width, an extra next width. Okay, now etc. And then we said beizmal is okay if you go back and forth. There were some knives that had little hooks on them. This has to be a knife that doesn't have karnaim, because if it does, they might tear into the siman. Okay, what about a needle? A needle, it's small, yes, but it tears, it doesn't cut. What about an awl? Amrle tanina, a filu kolshu. The Mishnah says a filu kolshu, meaning my la machta de ushchpi. Isn't it there to tell you even something smaller than an isma, which is this awl? Lo isma. It's there to tell you that doesn't tell you. That might just tell you isma. Isma v'hedik tanina. What do you mean? It says isma explicitly. So what's the point of the Mishnah saying kolshu and isma? Perusha kamafarish. The answer is that it's just explaining it. My kolshu isma. What is the kolshu? What is the small amount? The size of an izmal. If you think an awl is okay, then why mention the izmal? If something even smaller is valid, then why mention the izmal? The answer is that's not such a good proof, because izmal is terichale. We need to mention the izmal. We might have thought that they would decree that an izmal, even without little sticks or horns sticking out, would be invalid as a gzerah against one that has it, kamash malan, that they don't make such a gzerah. Okay, now, flas sakin v'shachata. Let's say that a knife, we already actually started Mishnah Gimel earlier, and it's marked on the page, it's now the next part of Mishnah Gimel. Now, flas sakin v'shachata. Let's say that a knife fell off of a table, say, and it on its way down it shachted. Alfi shachtakir arka, even if it did it properly, psula shenemar bezavachta ve'achalta. You have to shlecht and eat. Mashtaz ve'achalta ochel, which means there has to be evidently some sort of intent or some sort of an action by a person. All right, tamed denafla. So we're saying it's only because it fell off the table. Hai pilahu, but if you knocked it off the table, ksherav afagav lo michvin. It's valid even though you had no intent for shechita. Now, and this takes us back to the first parak. Who is the opinion who says that we don't need intent for shechita? Again, Rav Avraham Natanhi. The Tanya Yosha is Eir Devin Chavraya. So, Aksakin, the Noatzav Akot. Remember Rav Natan's argument? He said that if you take a knife and throw it, aiming to stick it into a wall, and it ended up shechting, and in the first parak we said it had to go back and forth to Molech Mevi. Rabbi Natan Machshir, he says it's valid. Chachamim Poslim. We'll look at Chachamim's opinion a little later on. Now, who Tani Lavu Amarla, Rav himself, who invoked this, said Halachak Rabbi Natan, that's how we rule. Ah, Vahamra Rav Charazimna. Why is Rava here telling us that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Natan? He already said that in the first parak. So we sort of assume that our Mishnayot are taking the same position of Rabbi Natan. Why does he have to do a re-identification? That's all a quote from the first parak. The answer is tzricha. We need both statements, both identifications of Rava, of this Mishnah and the earlier Mishnah as being Rabbi Natan. Why? If we only had his identification in parak Aleph, we would say mishum lekamichav and lishum chaticha ba'olam. Sure, because there you were intending to cut something. The only problem is the guy cutting it was incompetent. But here, when you knock something off the table, there was no intent by anyone to cut anything. And if we only had the Mishnah here, we said, you would say, because here Rabbi Natan would approve of it, because it was pushed off by somebody who himself is a competent person. But there was an incompetent doing the action, so therefore we have to identify both. Okay, now we're going to enter into a side discussion, which will ultimately loop us back, but right away you can see the connection. Itmar. Nida shenetan savatavla. If a woman was somehow forced or inadvertently went into proper amounts of water for a mikvah, and she had been a nida, aviura marav tohra leveta, she can resume relations with her husband. Vasra lachol b'truma, but she may not yet eat truma till she goes to the mikvah with intent. Rabbi Yochanan mar af leveta lo tahara. Rabbi Yochanan says doesn't work for anything. Now, Amalei Rav Lav Nachman. So Rav asked his Rebbe, L'Rav Demar Torah Leveta Asura L'Chol B'Truma. Rav split. It doesn't make sense. Avon Karet Tutra. After all, relations with the Nida is Karet. And that you are permitting with this unintended Tefillah. Yisur Mita Mibaya. Eating Truma when you're a Tamei is a chiyuv mitah b'nei shamayim, which is generally assumed to be less severe than karet. So why shouldn't that be lifted? Amar lei ba'ala chulin hu, because relations with your husband is in the realm of chulin. And chulin lo bei kavanat. To go to the mikvah in order to now be in the world of tahara for chulin needs no intent. Umanat teimra. So how do we know that? Did none. We have the Mishnah and Mikvaot. Gal shenit la shuvo arba'im sa'a. Let's say somebody's at the beach and a huge wave of 40 sa'a comes and drenches him. And it fell on a person and there were kelim there. Tahorin. They're all tahor. Now, my love adam dumia the kelim. Don't we assume that a person is being compared here to kelim? So ma kelim delo machavni. The kelim were just sitting there. Nobody put them there intentionally to be under a wave. Afadam nami lo bai kavana. So the man also didn't have to intend to be nitbal. So we're going to turn around. Say mimai dilma v'yoshev mitzapaskinan. Ematai talei shagal. Maybe the guy was sitting there saying, "Ooh, let's wait for a big wave so I can be tovel." The kelim dumi adam, and maybe the kelim are also compared to the adam, meaning ma adam debayinu kavanaf kelim nami dekamachavin lo adam. Just like the adam has to intend, so the kelim had to be put there intentionally by the person. Kelim obviously do not have their own kavanah. The chitaim riyoshev and sepem ma'ayla meimra. So if you want to tell me that mishnah is unnecessary, there's no need to tell me that if a person is sitting and waiting for a wave that he's tahor. So if you recall, we had a discussion in Gittin about katafres, which is a slope, and the rule against that stukim is katafres ano chibur, that which is going on a slope is not a chibur. And if you have a mountain stream that's chadalit shel gshamim coming down, even though there's a total of way over 40 sa'a of water, you can't be tovel in it because there's no connection between what's on the different parts of the slope. So we might be gozer a wave, which is somewhat similar to that. Or maybe we would be gozer that you can't be tovel in the water of the wave as a precaution against the crest of the wave, which is up in the air. So it teaches us that you are not gozer and you can still be tovel, but you have to have intent. Now, of course, that's for kodshim, so that works perfectly. Parenthetically, how do we know that you're not allowed to be tovel in the crest? Some statement somewhere seems to indicate that. Why? She'ein matpilin ba'avir. Because you're not allowed to be tovel in the air. Not because the crest is foam, but because it's up in the air. Ella chulin delo be kavana miyamin alan, but we still need to find a source that chulin don't need kavana. Did none. Here we go. Perot shenaflu l'toch amatamayim pashat mishi adav tmeyot v'natlan. Let's say a fellow's hands were tamei. This is now an issue for chulin. Look at Rashi. And Perot fell into a stream of some sort, and he put his hands in to take them out. In other words, he wasn't intending to be matpil his hands. Yadav tahoro to perotan enem b'chiyutan. It's the best of all worlds. His hands are tahor, because he put them into the water, but the fruit did not get intentionally wet, and therefore they're not mukshalatuma. But if on the other hand he put them into the water, he put his hands into the water in order to get them wet, yadav tahorot, certainly. Perot b'chiyutan, now the perot, he's touching the perot with his wet hands, and that liquid on his hands was intentional, therefore the perot arba chiyutan. Okay, so now we see that chulin do not need kavana. Eitev Rav Lav Nachman, but watch this challenge to that principle. The Mishnah in chulin, the second parak, says, Taval chulin v'uchzak l'chulin. If you went into the mikvah for purposes of eating chulin b'tahara, and that was only the sum total of your intent, asur l'ma'aser, then you're still not allowed to have ma'aser. As we remember from the middle to the end of Masechet Chulin, there, and Sakat Chagigah, there is a lot of focus on intent for different levels of taharat. Huchzakin lo huchzak lo. So the implication of that Mishnah is only if you intended to be tahor lechulin, but not if you just went in. So the answer is, Rabbi Nachman answers, Achikamar, Bishu huchzak lechulin, even if you did intend for chulin, asu lemaser, but of course you didn't have to intend for chulin. That's the point. Eitibe, watch the next challenge. Taval v'lo uchzak in the same Mishnah. If you went in without any intent, kilo taval, it's like you didn't go in. My love, kilo taval klal, doesn't that mean at all? Lo, kilo taval l'maser v'al taval l'chulin. No, it's as if you didn't go in for maser, but for chulin, it's still valid. Now, usav adichoy kamatchile. Rava thought Rav Nachman was just putting him off. Nafaktak v'al ashkach, he researched it and found a brayta that actually supported what his rabbi said. Tanya tavav lochzak mutar lechulin v'asur lemaser. There you have it explicitly. If you went into the mikvah without any intent, you're already allowed to eat chulin, but not maser, which now supports Rav's position that the woman who fell into the mikvah in some way or was pushed in but didn't go intentionally may resume relations with her husband. That's chulin, but may not have to truma. So Amar le'abai Rav Yosef lemitayavi tiyuvta Rabbi Yochanan miha. So perhaps this is a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan, who said she may not resume relations with her husband. She doesn't need kavanah for a tefillah. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan nidamar k'Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. Don't be so quick. Rabbi Yochanan also has a support. Following this relatively unknown Tana, Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef, the Tana Yonatan ben Yosef Omer, v'chubas shenit v'taher. This is talking about nigaim on clothes, which this is all for issues of chulin. And when you have tzarat on clothes, they have to be washed, and then there's a quarantine period, then after you wash, you get washed, meaning put in the mikveh again. Ma tov lo hashenit, why does it say wash them a second time? Obviously, this is the second time you washed them, and then 7 days later, do it again. Wash, meaning matbil. So makit, tachboset shniyam, tachboset rishona. It's comparing the second to the first. Ma tichboset rishona ledat, just like the first one was intended, because it says vitziva hakohen, the kohen directs them to be matbil this. After chosesh shniyah ledat, the second one has to also be intentional, and this is for chulin. Parenthetically, imal alan bayinah dat kohen of kan bayinah dat kohen. Just like there, maybe you need the kohen's intent. So here too, you might need the kohen's intent. Tamagomar v'taher says v'chubas shenit v'taher, it will be tahor mikol makom. Even without his intent, it's tahor. But the point being that there needs to be an intent in the tefillah for chulin. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan has a position to rely on. But how could Rabbi Yochanan possibly say that? And this is how things come back home. Halachaki Stam Mishnah. Very famous. We've seen it many times. Rabbi Yochanan said, anytime that Rebbe put a Stam Mishnah, that's the halacha. And what do we have in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if it fell and did Shechita, if the knife fell and did Shechita, it's no good. And we, our own commentary about it, just an amud ago, said Tamad Naflah in Pilahu Kshera. What was our inference? It's only because it fell on its own. But if he knocked it off, it's Kshera. Even though he didn't intend it. And we said, who is the author of that? I'm Rav Rabbi Natan. He. It's Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Yochanan should say, aha, we must look like Rabbi Natan. That's the Stam Mishnah. And that means for Chulin, which is our context, you don't need Kavanah. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that when the woman fell into the mikvah, was pushed in, or whatever happened, we'll see in a couple minutes what we assume happened, that she cannot resume relations with her husband? The answer is, b'shchita, afilu Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. Even he would agree. Why? Menigali rachmanu mitasek b'kochim pasul, since the Torah went out of its way to say that if you're mitasek, meaning if you didn't intend a shchita of korba, of zvachim, of korashim, it's pasul. From that you can infer quite easily that for chulin you don't need kavanah, because otherwise the Torah would not have to tell you itasek bekodshim pasul if it would even be true about chulin. Okay, and that is why Rabbi Yochanan could still have his position about nida and say shchita is the odd man out. Now for Rabbanan, and now we're asking about the rabbis who disagreed with Rabbi Natan and said the flying knife is not a valid shchita. How do they answer this point, which seems to indicate that chulin does not need kavanah? The answer is nehid lo ba'inan kavanah lezvicha l'chaticha ba'inan. They'll say, of course, you don't need intent to slaughter. That's only for kodshim. But you do need intent to cut the animal. Here, you're throwing a knife in the room to stick it in the wall. You didn't intend to cut it at all. And that's why we say that's no good. Okay? In the same case, if you knocked it off the table, that would be no good because you weren't intending to cut anything. Amarava Bahazachan Rabbi Natan Rabbanan. Rava says, I think Rabbi Natan has a point over the Rabbanan here. Why? Mikti v'chatachta. The Torah doesn't say cut the meat. It says v'zavachta k'tiv, slaughter. Meaning, iba inan kavana l'chaticha, if you need to have intent to cut, afilu zvichan nami libi, then you need intent to slaughter. If you don't need intent to slaughter, then you shouldn't need intent to cut. In other words, there is no middle ground. Either you need intent to slaughter, or you don't need intent at all. And clearly you don't need intent at all, because you only need intent for kodshim. And therefore he said, thinks Rabbi Natan has a leg up, which may be why Rava said, halacha ke Rabbi Natan. Now, let's go back to our case of the woman who ended up being tovelet inadvertently. How'd that happen? If you think one of her friends took her and pushed her in, so kavanah de chaverta, kavanah malaita hi. Her friend's intent is good and will count for her. And there, even everybody would even have to agree that she could eat truma. Did none at the beginning of the second parak of Nida. Hachereshet vashota vasuma v'shintufa data. All these are women who either are incompetent or can't see. If they have friends who are capable and sighted, etc., who can help them check for nida, they can go to the mikvah and eat truma, which means that their friend's intent counts for them. So our papa, so here's how it will play out. Remember Rabbi Natan said, for chulin, you need no kavana whatsoever. So what is the case of the woman? It could even be she fell off a bridge. She had no intent to go in the water at all. L'Rabbanan, who said you need kavana for the general action, has to be Shiar Dal HaKer. She went into the river to cool off. Not intending tefillah. So that's what they would call Ne'ensa. Okay, Amarava. Shachat Parah. We're not done with Rabbi Natan Rabbanan. Shachat Parah v'shachat Beimah Acheret Imah. Now, the halacha is that when you shachti Parah Duma, you may not be doing any other malacha. And any other malacha will include also doing another shechita. Shachat Parah v'shachat Beimah Acheret Imah. If you shachted the Parah and then right away shachted another animal, Divra kol psula, everybody agrees that that invalidates the para. Nishchata beima acheret ima. Let's say you shechted the para inadvertently, your knife slipped and cut another animal and did a proper shechita. So Rabbi Natan para psula. According to Rabbi Natan, the para is psula because what you did was a valid shechita. And therefore, beima kshera, the other one is kasher. Lirabanan, according to Rabbanan, it's the opposite. Para kshera, because you didn't do anything. Behemah psula, because what you did to the other animal was nothing, and therefore the para has not been violated, shall we say, by having you do another malacha that's successful. Now, pshita, that should be fairly obvious. The answer is nishchata behemah acheret Rabbi Natan yitzrichalei. We needed that last clause for Rabbi Natan. That wasn't so obvious. Why? Salkadai tachameina. I might have thought the following. The Torah says, v'shachat ota amarachmana. You have to shecht it. V'lo ota v'chavertan. What's the miut? Not it and another one. What's another one? I would think that that means that if you cut two parot adumot, in other words, you have a parah adumah and you have another one, and you want to shecht them both, that's what invalidates. But if you shecht a parah adumah in chulin, it might not affect it at all. And therefore, I would think that even according to Rabbi Natan, the parah is still good. And both of them would be good according to him. Kamash malan, that even beimah chulin is considered a violation of the parah. Okay, parenthetically, chatach dala atima. Now, if you shechted the parah duma and then the knife went and you cut a squash with it, divra kol psula. That's if you intended to, because that's an intentional malacha. Nechtacha dala atima, but if on the other hand your knife just went through and there was a gourd there and you didn't know when to cut it, then divra kol kshira, because that was an unintended thing, and here we can't call it another shechita, and we can't call it a malacha, because a malacha has to have intent. Okay, the end of Mishnah Gimel. Naflas sakin v'hig bihat. This is now going to deal with the issue of shihiya, which is delaying, which is one of the five psulim, and the first one we always list in our list of psulim. Naflas sakin v'hig bihat. Let's say the knife fell down and you picked it up. Or naflu kelav v'hig bihat. Your tools fell down and you picked them up in the middle. Or yishchizta sakin v'af. You started sharpening the knife and you got tired. B'chavero v'shachat. Or you could read it as you took the knife off and you sharpened it in the middle, or you got tired and your friend came and finished it. Any way you want to parse this, you got a few different cases, all of which involve a delay in the middle of shechita. Im shakadei shechita psula. If you pause long enough to do a full shechita, psula. Rabbi Shimon Omer im shakadei bikur. He says, no, how long? It's long enough to have an investigation. We'll see what that means at the end. Now, my kadei shechita. So, kadesh chitat marav, kadesh chitat beima acheret. he says, long enough to shecht another animal. So Amri the Rav, kind of Rav Asi the Rav. So students asked him, Kedei shechitat behema libehema ve'of lo'of, meaning if you're shechting a behema, you're shechting a sheep, is it long enough to shecht another sheep? But if you're shechting a bird, it's only as long as it would take to take another bird. De'ma'af behema lo'of, or maybe you get the longer time even if you're shechting a bird. Amalahu, he said, lo'ave badichna be bechaviv edishayle. I wasn't feeling comfortable enough with my uncle, Rav Chiya, who he heard this from, to ask him the question. But Itmar, we have a later statement, Amarav, Kadesh Kitat Bemal, Bemava, Of La Of. It's all aligned, which means if you're shechting a sheep and you stop in the middle, the shear is the amount of time it takes to shecht a shebema, not a bird. But if you're shechting a bird, you don't get so long. Shmuel Amar, Fil Bemal Of. Shmuel takes the opposite position, says you always get the longer period. Chen Kiat Ravin Rabbi Yochanan, Fil Bemal Of. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing in Tiberia. Rechananya Amar, he said, Kadesh Yaviv Behema Acheret V'Yishchot. Has to be long enough, period, to be able to bring an animal. Yavi, afilu mi'alma, or bring it from the outside. Then we have a variable shiur which we never tolerate. This might be 5 minutes away. This might be 5 days away. Actually, what we're talking about is an animal that's about to be turned up so that you can shecht it. Rabbi Yochanan says you just need the amount of time to shecht, and Rechananya says that plus the preparation. I'm Rav Mishmeri Rav Yossi Barab Chanina. So in Eretz Israel, they quote Rabbi Yosef Chanina saying, "Kadeshak bihana v'yarbitzana v'yishchot." You have to lift it up and then place it down in shecht. So it's sort of like Rabbi Chananya plus a little bit. And he says then, "Dakala dakava gasala gasa." This is another fine tuning. He says if you are shechting a sheep, then the amount of time it takes to lift up a sheep and put it down and shecht it, which is not so long, compared to if you're shechting a cow, the amount of time it takes to do that with a cow is much longer. So you do get a longer amount of time that's allowed for shehia when you're shechting a large animal. Amarava shochet besakin ra'at. If you're using a very dull knife, afilakolam kulo, so let's say you're sawing away all day, ksheira, that's not called shehia. By Rava, so then Rava said, Shiyot ma'u sheet starfu. What if you stopped and paused for 30 seconds, then continued, paused for another 30 seconds? Do they all amass and invalidate or not? Why doesn't he answer it from his own point that he said that if you could be sawing all day, it's okay? The answer is Hatam Lo Shaha. That could be talking about a case where you really didn't stop at all. Okay, by Ravuna Breder of Natan, Shahaba Miut Simanim Mahu. What if you do Shahia when you have a minority of Simanim, meaning left, which means you did a Rov Siman, and then you continued, you want to do the rest of the Siman, and there you did pausing. You paused. Is that a shehiyah? And we've seen that already with Chalada, the same question. And the answer again was teku, that we're not clear what happens, because really when you did the Rov Siman, you're done. On the other hand, the fact that you continued may indicate that all of the limitations and violations of Shechita will continue until you're done. Okay, Rishimon Omer Mishah Kedei Bikur. My Kedei Bikur. What's Kedei Bikur? Riyachal Kedei Bikuro Shel Chacham. Okay, Nirachal Shiurin. We had this in the first parak. Rabbi Yochanan suggested that it means long enough for the Chacham to come and check the knife. So the Chacham could be here, could be there, could be somewhere else. Elakadei Bikur Tabar Chacham, meaning the amount of time it takes for the Shochet himself, who is a Chacham, to look at the knife and check it over, which we would assume is a shorter period than Kadei Shechita. Okay, we'll pause at this point to pick it up in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dalid, in the next podcast. In the meantime, I should have a wonderful day.